Hello, everybody. Welcome to the long-awaited return of Down with Lucha Libre. I am your host, Todd Ciliano, sitting here with
Jesse Matthews.
And today we learned something pretty interesting, pretty cool, pretty weird.
What's that?
Today we learned that B.B. King has played over 15,000 shows since 1951, including 150 last year at the age of 88.
I don't think I can do 155 things in a year.
I definitely couldn't, especially at the age of 88.
I don't think I could go to a 155 free shows in a year.
Yeah.
Well, let's perform.
And how many of those were probably in his adopted hometown of Memphis, Tennessee? He's not from Memphis, he's from Mississippi, but still, he claims Memphis.
Just like Elvis Presley.
I think he only played like three shows. But at least Justin Timberlake is from a suburb of Memphis. He's not from a different state and claims it. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, today, we are here to talk about one thing and one thing only. And that is the greatest thing to ever happen in the city of Memphis so far this year. Sports. The Memphis Grizzlies, namely. But we do have one other thing to talk about. First, we're going to talk about the fact that we never actually told you what horror movies to watch this Halloween.
Yeah.
And let's give the reason why.
Hopefully you watched a good one.
Yeah, Jesse, would you like to tell the people why we weren't here 2 weeks ago for Halloween?
Because I was busy.
You were busy. You were working. Actually, I think it was 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
You were working, and you couldn't do it because you couldn't get off work. The next week, I was really sick, and I couldn't do it. And then last week we were supposed to do it, and my wife was extremely sick, thrown up all night, and I was like, I don't want her to have to be worried about getting you sick and all this, so we just decided to do it this week, and we are doing two episodes this week. We're recording on both today, but we're going to act like the one after this is recorded later in the week. But we're talking about the Grizzlies, but before we get into the Grizzlies, I want to talk about the great... fucking Sorrow is chewing his goddamn dog food, probably loud as shit on here.
Yeah.
But the Memphis Tigers right now.
Yeah, let's talk about them. T-I-G-E-R-S.
Not the basketball team. Not the basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about a team that can win games. The Memphis Tigers football team.
Yeah, I'm still so mad they lost that damn game we went to.
Yeah.
How the hell did we lose that game?
But right now they are 7-3. 7-3. And it looks like they're going to have a 9-win season this year, which, you know what that means?
What?
That means they're probably going to end up with a better record than ranked team LSU.
Probably so. There's no way in hell LSU's winning 9 games.
No, it really irritates me that the Tigers aren't ranked. Like, didn't they get, after their first win, they got, a couple of votes for the top
25? Yeah, they got, one vote after they beat the hell out of Austin Peay.
I was like, how the fuck can they not, just not get a single vote after they're having such an incredible season? Just put them, put them, number 26 in the AP poll out of the top 25 teams. Let them be 26.
I bet if we win our last two games, I bet we'd get ranked.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't think Memphis has ever been ranked in football before, ever.
No. I mean, we're going to a bowl game this year, first time since 2008, right? We're fucking great this year so far. Right now, our record sits at 7-3. We have two more games.
And if we win both of our last two games, we will win the conference championship.
Yeah, which I think even if we win just because we're a game ahead of the... are we at one game or two games ahead right now?
I don't know.
Let me look at that real quick because I'm just... really fucking wanting to know. Our next game, we play South Florida, who are 4-6. We're going to beat them.
I hope so.
We're going to beat them. There's no fucking denying
I'm not very familiar with their work.
They're 4-6. We play them. And then after that, we play the legendary...
Oh, yeah. I want to go to this game. I think
the legendary school for having a great women's basketball program, UConn. We play them, and their record right now is 2-7.
The only team in women's basketball history to cheat in women's college basketball.
Yep. And both of these games are going to be on ESPN News.
Hell yes.
Which is awesome for us. But right now we are sitting... I thought this was... I fucked it up. Let me go. Okay. God damn it.
Doo-doo-doo.
This is getting confusing, folks.
It's very confusing here.
Let's talk football. Let's see.
I think we're tied with like Cincinnati, and everybody's like, that's stupid because if we win and they win, like, it'll be like a shared conference championship.
I don't want that.
But like, we beat them already. Like, we beat them head to head.
Yeah, it should not.
But
be
we're just
that
gonna
way.
Have the same record as them, so that's stupid.
Okay, here we go. The American Conference, because we are American.
That's right.
We are. Right now we are 5-1 in the conference. Cincinnati is 4-1. UCF is 4-1. Cincinnati's next game, the Bearcats, they play Connecticut, and then they play Temple, and they play Houston. I could see them losing to Temple before I could Connecticut. They could even lose to Houston. Houston's what, the team that beat us that fucked our record over. But... And then you have UCF, who also is 4-1 right now.
They're a bunch of cheaters.
Do what?
They're a bunch of cheaters. Since we're Florida.
Fuck you. They play SMU, which, god damn it, that's going to make them...
Has SMU won a game yet?
No.
They're terrible.
They play SMU, South Florida, and East Carolina. They're going to lose against East Carolina. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, East Carolina's going to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean the Tigers, assuming they don't fuck up these last two games, they're gonna win the American championship. Yeah. They're gonna be the champions of America.
They're gonna be the US champions.
Yeah. And but let's talk about what we're here to discuss, and that is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Grr.
Yes. Who are right now sitting pretty on top of the Western Conference. Nope, scratch that. On top of the NBA as the best team right now. Anybody listening to this, if you have an Apple phone and you have Siri, press your little Siri, talk to her, ask Siri who the best team in the NBA is. Siri will tell you the Memphis Grizzlies. Right now we are 10-1, best start in franchise history, and best team in the league. Last night we played the Houston Rockets, who I honestly, anytime I go to a game, I don't think we're going to lose this game. I immediately assume we're winning. We could only have 5 players in the entire game playing like the Eastern All-Star team or some shit, or playing the 1992 Olympic team in their prime. And I would say, all right, we're going to win because I believe in the Grizzlies. And last night, I believe we were going to win, but at the same time, I was thinking the Rockets are a tough team to beat, even though they almost got their ass kicked by a one-armed Oklahoma City Thunder the night before. I mean, you got to admit, Houston's always a tough team to play.
Yeah, they're really good. And Houston, like, even when Houston used to be bad, they would always like give the Grizzlies trouble.
Same thing with New Orleans.
For some reason,
New Orleans always has been terrible since they traded Chris Paul, or since Chris Paul left. But anytime we play them, we almost get our asses kicked, or we do get our asses kicked. I don't know what it is about that team that can always beat us.
I don't either.
But the Rockets, I was afraid we were going to lose the game. And what ended up happening, at one point we were up by 36 points.
Yeah.
And we won the game by, I think, like 27 or some shit like that. Either way, the Memphis Grizzlies showed last night why they are the top team in the world. Not in the league, in the world. Yes.
And they are not only the best team in America, but the world.
I honestly thought, though, that game... Because of the fact that both teams were the only 9-1 teams in the league, I thought that game was going to get switched over to be put on TNT or some shit, or like ESPN. When I got to the game and I saw there was no ESPN table, I was really confused by that. But all right, let's look at this real quick. Last night, the Grizzlies had 3 quarters where they scored 30-plus points. The only quarter that the Rockets beat us in was the fourth. They scored 27, we scored 22. But after the first, we were up 16, and they scored 18 points. That's just amazing. And if you want to look at the real great thing about the game, look at Tony Allen. If you want to judge Tony Allen on his playing ability, don't judge him by how he's like by the points he scores.
Hell no.
Judge him on the players he's defending, how many points they get. James Harden scored 6 points last night. It was a 1 for 8. Why? Because of Tony fucking Allen.
James Harden did not want to play.
And last night during the game, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Kevin McHale decided he's going to sit his entire starting lineup for the entire fucking quarter because he was like, it's over.
Yeah, fuck it.
And I was talking to Sarah last night about, like, when we were at the game. I was like, what would they do if like Dave Yeager was like, all right, Mark, Tony, Zeebo, Courtney, Mike, get back in there, and they put our starting lineup in there against our third stringers. Like, I think that score would end up being like 150.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's your opinion right now on the Grizzlies?
They're awesome.
They're fucking
awesome.
They're the, like, nothing makes me happier than seeing the Grizzlies succeed.
The Grizzlies were really badass last season after Marc Gasol came back from injury, and now it has continued on to this season where we are, once again, amazing and badass.
But, of course, the top fears coming out of next season are that Marc Gasol is going to leave because San Antonio...
Yeah, I was going to say, did you hear what they were saying? They wanted San Antonio wanted to get him?
San Antonio wants him to replace Tim Duncan.
Oh, that would make me want to kill
him. I'm sure that makes Tim Duncan feel great if they're like, we need some guy to replace him. And Phil Jackson is interested in bringing him into New York.
I don't think he's going to go. I think he's staying.
Yeah, I mean, he loves it. He loves it here. He's basically lived here since he was like 11 years old.
I would think he would probably go to the Spurs before he would go to the damn Knicks.
But I don't think he's going to leave Memphis.
No, I don't. I'm not worried about that.
There's no way in hell he would ever go to the Knicks because. No. The Knicks have great players, but they are a shitty-ass team.
Oh, they have great players, huh?
Well, they have Carmelo.
Who are their great players?
They got Carmelo. But
they
like,
do have Carmelo.
Do what?
I said they do have Carmelo.
Carmelo is a great player, but he's like the Kobe of the Eastern Conference in the sense that, like not Kobe 10 years ago, but Kobe now, in the sense that he's like, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I can do it. And he can't do it. But you know what the most surprising thing about the game last night was? I thought Jason Terry was retired. And like I saw like,
legit.
I saw number 31 get off the bench and I was like, That's not Jason Terry. I thought he's retired, isn't he? And then he was like I was looking at him, I was like, that looks like Jason Terry. And like entering the game, number 31, Jason Terry. I'm like, what the fuck? Like I thought he retired. How the fuck is he still on the team and how is he still getting productive minutes?
I have no idea.
But the star of the Rockets team is not James Harden. He's not Dwight Howard. He is former Memphis Tigers standout, not Tarik Black.
Yeah, Joey Dorsey.
Joey fucking Dorsey, who got a standing ovation when he entered the game.
I was very happy to see him last night.
Me too.
I was actually really happy to see he was getting minutes. And I was very surprised Tarik Black was getting minutes because Tarik Black sucks.
Yeah. The whole time Tarik Black was out there, I was like, all right, go ahead and get fouled. Get fouled. And Tony Allen got two fouls at the beginning of the fucking game that sent James Harden to the line, which is complete bullshit. The referees were trying their best to get James Harden to the line.
Yes, they were.
And he got a technical when he was sitting down because he was talking shit to the ref. I fucking love Tony Allen. It's if you ever go to a game, it's the greatest thing watching Tony Allen when he gets fouled and he gets told to sit down because he's walking off and he, like, untucks his jersey. He's just talking shit. And, like, I can tell, look at him, he's talking shit.
Another thing that happened last night that I was very happy to see is my man, Jarnell Stokes, got into the game. And who did he score on? That bitch-ass motherfucker, Tarik Black.
And I don't think this was on TV, but I saw it when it happened. When he scored, when he dunked that, when he first made his first basket, the entire bench jumped up and cheered for him.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was the greatest fucking thing.
And, They said on the radio earlier, it's so surprising, like it's like two and a half years ago, you would have never guessed that Tarik Black would have been getting booed like hell in the FedEx Forum, and Jarnell Stokes, who left Memphis to go to Tennessee, would be getting cheered.
Yeah. God, I love him. There's nothing about Jarnell Stokes that you can't love. I mean, he's from Memphis. But what we are here to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, is we got two lists we're doing today. all-time favorite Grizzlies players and our dream Grizzlies lineup.
I thought we were going to do this on the second episode.
Do what?
I thought we were going to do these on the second one.
No, I thought we were doing that on this one, and the second one was going to be the underrated, overrated.
No. That's not what it was.
Oh, well, do you want to do these on this one? Since we already brought it up?
I mean, we can, but I thought we were going to do these on the second one. And the first one was going to be like the random.
Oh, no, sorry. The second one, you'll have to wait for a couple days before you hear that one. Oh. I mean, are you cool with doing this one now?
I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, do you want me to go first?
We'll see it.
Let's go. All-time Grizzlies lineup. And these are in an order because these are my favorite players.
Is this the lineup or your top five
favorite? My top five all-time.
All right.
Top five all-time. He coming in at number five. He is number 50 in your programs, number one in your heart. I'm talking about the man, the myth, Big
Hakeem
Country, Bryant Reeves.
Oh, damn it.
Hakeem was number 21.
Oh.
But Big Country, Bryant Reeves. He played for the Vancouver Grizzlies from 1995 to 2001 when he retired. And he was the NBA All-Rookie Second Team in 1996. He's the two-time Big 8 Player of the Year. He scored 4,945 points, averaged 12.5 points per game, and 6 rebounds per game with 0.8 blocks per game. And he retired due to back injuries, but he was a great, great player, even though he was a fat ass.
He's a big, fat, white guy.
Yep. And he started on the, he played in Memphis, but he only played a couple of preseason games. And then he retired midway through the 2001-2002 season. So he's from Fort Smith, Arkansas, hence the name Big Country. And he retired in Memphis. I'm sure that makes him a little bit better feeling than saying I retired in Vancouver, Canada. But then you got number 4 on my list is number 31 in your heart, or in your program, sorry, and number four in your heart, I guess, is Shane Battier, who is still by far one of the nicest players I've ever met. And he was selected in 2001 by the Grizzlies. On his Wikipedia, it says he was selected by the Vancouver Grizzlies, but he was not. He was selected by the Grizzlies, not even the Memphis Grizzlies, because at that point they didn't know where they were going. He was selected by the Grizzlies. If you look at the logo on his hat that draft, it didn't say it does not have a city name on it. Even the logo for our team during that draft does not have a city name on it. And if you look at his...
Oh, one of them hats.
I do, too. If you look at his stats during the when he played for Memphis, his best points per game that he's ever done was his first season where he averaged 14.5 points a game. That was actually his best season all around. He averaged 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 14 points, and played about 40 minutes a game, which is insane for a rookie.
That shows how good the Grizzlies bench was back then.
Yeah. And, you know, we traded him in 2006 to the Houston Rockets, the aforementioned team, for Rudy Gay. We traded him and Strohmeyer for Rudy Gay, and then he played there and did pretty well, you know. It was okay. In 2010, we got him back. 2010-2011 season, we got him back basically for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he played 23 games for us and shot a career best .882 from the free throw line, scored 5 points a game. And then he retired as a Miami Heat because the reason why he's not higher on my list because he's a son of a bitch. He didn't want to stay here. But Shane Battier coming in at number 4. And now coming in at number 3 on my list is, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest center the Memphis Grizzlies have ever had. Big Spain, Marc Gasol.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lorenzen Wright.
No, not Lorenzen. I love Lorenzen, though, but Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is the younger, fatter brother than Powell. That's what everyone knew him as when we traded Powell to the Lakers for Marc Gasol and Kwame Brown.
I always forget Kwame Brown would played for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, if you look at the Grizzlies after the playoff years in 2003, yeah, 4, and 5.
I swear, those are like the lost years.
Yeah, we had some shitty-ass teams.
We had like 43-year-old Eddie Jones.
Yeah, we had Torrance Kinsey.
I don't even know who that is.
Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams.
But if you look at Marc Gasol's career stats, he's played in the NBA since 2008. After is that his career is funny because, you know, he got drafted by the Lakers, and he was told, and he told them he doesn't plan on playing in the NBA. And then he got traded. His rights were traded to the Grizzlies, and then within the next season, he was in the Grizzlies. He was in the Grizzlies uniform. He started 82 or played in 82 games that year. Started 75. Averaged 11 points, which is great for a rookie. And he's played like he's been our starting center. He's missed a few games due to injuries, but he's always consistently been better than the previous season. Like his career high for points per game is 14.6, which he somehow averaged three times. I don't even know how the fuck that's possible. But right now his career average is 13.5, and he averages 7 rebounds a game, 2 assists, almost 1 steal, 0.9 steals. He almost has 1 steal. And 1.5 blocks. And his field goal is over 500, which is nice. That's what you always want it to be. You don't want it to be really fucking low. His three-pointer is really fucking low at 0.152. And his free throw is over 500 at 0.749. And he did play in an All-Star game. Let's not forget that.
Ooh.
Where he averaged 4 points. But still, it was just one game. He played 13 minutes. In the playoffs, he's averaged... let's see. He has averaged 16 points a game in the playoffs, which is fucking nice. 16 points in the playoffs is amazing. And, I mean, come on. It's Marc Gasol's. Pau Gasol's fat brother who can't play that well, as everyone put him. And number two on my list is Zach Randolph.
Z-Bo
is the who previously played for the Portland Trailblazers, the New York Knicks, and the Los Angeles Clippers, but his NBA career didn't actually start until 2009 when he started playing for the Grizzlies. And I mean, why would anybody say that? But because before he came to the Grizzlies, he was fucking terrible. He was a no good piece of shit who just liked to get in trouble. I was a member of GD.
I think it's just going to kill me with them damn GDs.
And since he's played for the Grizzlies, he's been a two-time All-Star, which the way he got put in, the way Marc Gasol got put in, is a lot better than the way the lineups are set, because the lineups are set by fan vote, which is always the dumbest thing ever, in my opinion, because that's why Kobe got fucking put in a starter last year, even though he was injured.
He played like 4 games.
Yeah, but I don't agree with the let's make the fans vote.
No, that's stupid. Fucking retarded.
But he got voted in and Mark by the coaches, which is the greatest compliment you can get, is that your opposing team's coaches are like, he's a great player. And he... All NBA third team 2011, and he has turned this franchise around. No fucking doubt about that.
Yes. We did not start winning until Zach Randolph came.
Yeah. And he was traded to the Clippers, traded by the Clippers to the Grizzlies in 2009 for Quentin Richardson.
Q! I was so happy when we got him.
Quentin?
Yeah. I love Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles.
Yeah. But when that happened, do you remember the news?
Everybody being pissed about Zach Randolph?
The news was, holy shit, we signed Allen Iverson?
Oh.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, that.
And everyone was pissed that we got Zach Randolph because he was a thug. There's no denying that. He was a player who, I mean, I'm not going to say he sucked because he didn't really suck.
No, he was good, but he was just always really good for like bad teams.
Yeah. And we got Allen Iverson. Everybody thought Allen Iverson was going to be the answer to our problem. Allen Iverson played like 3 games, didn't play a single one in Memphis, played preseason games, and then decided, I want to go home.
What a little baby.
And Zach Randolph is actually the savior of the team because he was able to play... he was able to lead us to that year when he first came in. He led us to a 500 record season for the first time in years. And then after that, we've had playoffs 4 times in a row, which I think we've had like three out of those 3 or 4 times, we've had 50 win seasons, 3 of them, right? Or is it just 2?
I think 3 of them.
So 3 out of the 4 seasons we made to the playoffs, we've had 50 win seasons, which is due in part because of him and just because of our awesome lineup. And he, since he's come to Memphis, he has twice now averaged 20 points. The worst he's done is in 2011, 2012, when he averaged 11 points. That's because he only played 28 games.
Very sad year.
As 2-time All-Star, like I said, he has averaged 7 points in those games, 5 rebounds. And in the playoffs, he averages 17 points a game. His highest game, or highest average, was 2011, the first year we made the playoffs since 2005. He averaged 26 points a game. 26 points a fucking game in the playoffs. That's like Michael Jordan numbers. And number one on my list, as much as I love Mike Conley, even though I didn't when we drafted him, as much as I loved Kyle Lowry, Juan Carlos Navarro, all of our great point guards we've had, no point guard has made me happier to see play than Jason Williams.
White chocolate.
Jason Williams, number one on my list, who is, in my opinion, most known for not giving Jeff Calkins an interview.
Yeah, which is, they claim there's no video footage of it. It is a lie. I used to see that video on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, I cannot find it.
It got taken down, and I believe Jeff Calkins had it destroyed.
And Jeff Calkins actually still has that sound bite as the intro to a show.
Yeah, and it is the most awesome fucking thing in the world.
And Jason Williams, he, as, I mean, you would think that he wouldn't be number one on my list, but Jason Williams is by far my favorite Grizzly. And you wouldn't think he'd be number one on my list because he did not like Memphis at all. I don't think he actually liked living here. He loved going to St. Jude. He always said that was his favorite thing about Memphis, that he can go to St. Jude, visit the kids because he loves children. But I don't think he actually liked Memphis at all.
Oh, I think he liked it a little bit.
Well, after the first year, he was like, we suck. We're the worst team in the league.
Well, we did suck.
Yeah, we were.
And we probably were the worst team in the league.
I mean, I don't know if he actually liked Memphis. He retired as a Grizzly, though.
That's good.
That's, I mean, that you can't take that away from him.
And now he's balling in China.
Yeah, not even professionally. I mean, he gets paid for it, but he's not on a team. He's on, like, the NBA All-Star Legends Visit You Tour, where he plays, like, Scottie Pippen and takes on Chinese high school students.
And fucking destroys their ass, man.
The best thing Jason Williams ever did in Memphis, which is something I didn't even get a chance to check out, was when the And-One Street Ball Tour came to Memphis at the Pyramid, and he played in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I was pissed that I didn't that I missed it. But at the same time, it was weird that a street ball tournament came to an arena.
I used to watch that show on TV all the time, the little And-One show.
Yeah, but Jason Williams was probably, like, he was the flashiest point guard the Grizzlies have ever seen.
He's been like the flashiest point guard in ever.
Yeah. And his biggest career highlight is probably the off the elbow pass he did in the rookie game.
Yes.
Where after he said he only did that so people stop asking him to do it.
Yeah.
And he went to the University of Florida where he was kicked out of the team for I think it was getting in the fights or some shit.
Oh, what a surprise.
And he, I remember when we re-signed him and Shane, re-signed both of them the day, same time, he came, played in the playoffs, and it was awesome seeing him play again. It was awesome seeing him throw passes to Shane. Even though he didn't get to finish the season, he had to retire early due to his back injuries that actually made him retire as soon as he signed a contract with the Clippers. And then he came out of retirement year after and signed with the Magic. But I love Zach Randolph. I love Marcus Saul, I love Shane Battier, I love Bryant Reeves, and I love Jason Williams. But I do have an honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Goes out to Lorenzen Wright.
Lorenzen Wright.
Who was, he wasn't the greatest player in basketball, he wasn't the flashiest player, but he was a local legend in Memphis, played for Memphis State. And he, when we signed him in 2001, I remember how happy everybody was. He was the most popular player on the team because he was from Memphis, because he played so many games in the Pyramid for Memphis State. And he tragically died way too fucking soon in like the shittiest circumstances where no one really even knows what would actually happen, except for probably his wife, but I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But Lorenzo Wright's honorable mention, he is still missed by the Grizzlies organization and by the city of Memphis, and I do truly wish that we would honor his legacy and retire his number. Though I have told my mom this plenty of times, the only number I see is retiring when this person retires is number 50. Because Zach Randolph is retiring as a Grizzly because he's signed his final contract this year. He's good here for another 3 years, and that's it for him, in my opinion at least. And who's on your top five?
All right, number five on my top five favorite Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm assuming you don't have stats.
No, I do not have the stats. But it's okay, because most of the players you said are on my list, though.
Except for Bryant Reeves.
Except for the big, fat, white guy.
And hey, Marcus Saul is a good player.
I mean, he's a big old teddy bear, but you know. Anyway, coming in at number five is that big old, fat, white guy that I was just joking about. Mark Gasol.
Bryant Reeves, are you fucking serious?
No, Mark Gasol, Big Spain, pals, little brother. Everybody shit on the Grizzlies and said we gave the Lakers two NBA championships and we were handing them when we handed them Pau Gasol. But in actuality, looking back at it, they did win two NBA championships, but if we would have kept Pau for those 2 years, I do not think we would have won two NBA championships.
No.
And look how much it is paying off for us now. When not only is Marc Gasol the best center the Grizzlies have ever had, I would willing to argue that Marc Gasol has been the best center for the last 2 years. I believe he is better than Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean,
Dwight Howard's a pussy.
Dwight Howard can still bitch and moan that he didn't get the Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago, but, like, fuck him.
He can cry.
By the way, I forgot to bring that up. Let me just touch on that real quick. Marc Gasol a couple years ago won Defensive Player of the Year and somehow was not named to the All-NBA Defensive First Team. It's like, how the fuck is that even possible? He should have been the starter for that team.
I don't know, man. Because everybody likes Dwight Howard and his stupid dunks. He's fucking 7 foot tall. He should be able to dunk. Yeah. If I was 7 foot tall, I could do some cool-ass dunks too, probably. But yes, Marc Gasol, best center in the NBA. And once again this year, he will probably be best center in the NBA again if he stays healthy. Coming in at number four, the same person you had at number four, Shane Battier.
I love Shane Battier.
Shane Battier, you might know him as a ESPN college basketball analyst, but we know him here in Memphis as Shane Battier, one of the nicest damn guys in the world.
Retired too young, in my opinion.
Yes. He retired so damn young, it's because he's played four damn years in college, and nobody actually does that anymore unless you suck.
Yeah.
But I was happy to see. I really hated when Miami won because I really hate LeBron.
Yeah.
And I really hate all their fans and they didn't deserve that none of that shit. But I was happy for Shane. I was happy for Mike Miller.
I want you to think about this, okay? Miami Heat, they do not need LeBron James to win championships. You know what they needed? They needed the Memphis Grizzlies. They won their first championship with James Posey and Jason Williams.
That's
who did they play for the year before? The Memphis Grizzlies.
Exactly.
And then the past two championships they won. Who did they have on team? Mike Miller and Shane Battier. Who did they play for? The fucking Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
They did not need LeBron. They need more Grizzlies.
Go to Miami to retire and win championships.
And that is not my way of saying let's trade all of our top players to Miami.
Oh. But Shane Battier, I've always liked you, man. Damn good defensive player. You hit a shot against the Spurs when we won our very first playoff game.
The
three-pointer heard around Shelby County.
Yeah. Well, that is the world, I mean.
That's my world. Yeah. And coming in at number three, the best defensive player the Memphis Grizzlies have ever had, Tony Allen!
I was so torn about putting Tony Allen on my lineup, but I was like, I can't. I fucking love Tony Allen, though.
I fucking love Tony Allen, man. As you said earlier, if you look at Tony Allen just to see how many points he scores, then you do not know anything about basketball.
No, watch Tony Allen during the playoffs when he guards Kevin Durant.
Tony Allen can't even dribble the basketball half the time. Whenever he gets the ball, you want to freak out and you say, oh my God, what is about to happen? But whenever there is the best player on the other team, he is always being guarded by Tony Allen, shuts down their ass.
He shuts down Kevin Durant. He shuts down Kobe. He shuts down James Harden. He is, in my opinion, he has taken over Gary Payton's nickname of the glove.
Yes.
Because when you're getting guarded by Tony Allen, he's on you like a fucking glove.
Tony Allen is the best perimeter defender in the NBA.
Yes.
And also one of the toughest.
And now who's number two on your list?
Number two on my list, is motherfucking white chocolate, Jason Williams. It's really hard having him in number one, or it's really hard having him at number two. He was my favorite basketball player for Sacramento before the Grizzlies got a team, or before the Grizzlies moved to Memphis. He was my favorite player in the NBA. He was white, and he was amazing, and he threw badass passes to Chris Webber. When the Memphis Grizzlies first got, when the news finally broke that Memphis was getting the Grizzlies, I perfectly remember walking down the street with Josh Shirley, and we were talking about it, and me saying, man, now all we got to do is go get Jason Williams, and my dream will come true. And a couple of weeks later, we traded that bum Mike Bibby, and we got Jason Williams.
Your dream was to get the Grizzlies?
No, it was after we got the Grizzlies, we got to get Jason Williams was my dream.
I remember in the summer of 2000, seeing all of those NBA Now.
NBA Now. No taxes, NBA, son.
Yeah. I love those damn things. Yeah. I still got one in my garage at my grandma's.
I stole an NBA Now sign from somebody and put it in my yard.
And then a few years later, you had a lottery now.
Yes. But Jason Williams, man, a very good tidbit of information about Jason Williams. Who was his best friend in high school?
Randy Moss.
Randy fucking Moss. That must have been a cool-ass high school. And it's funny, they both went to some redneck, or they're both from some redneck town in West Virginia.
And who's his best friend in the NBA? Chris Webber.
Chris Webber, man.
The great dude who fucked up Michigan.
Oh, well, yeah.
We're not going to talk about
that. I feel really bad for him.
That's a great documentary. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's a fucking amazing documentary.
Yeah, those 30 for 30s are really good. I really want to watch the Randy Moss one.
And why is Zach Randolph number one?
And Zach Randolph is number one because despite Jason Williams being amazing, and he actually, I wouldn't say led the team to the playoffs, but he was a very big part of the team going to the playoffs. Jason Williams represents my favorite time as being a Grizzlies fan, but being a Grizzlies fan is when you knew they weren't going to win a lot, but you still win anyway. But Zach Randolph, he's a damn winner, man. He made the team a winning team in the NBA.
Yes, he did.
Ever since he's been here.
We have not had a losing season since he came here.
And I remember the big argument everybody had. It was, oh, we need to just trade Z-Bo and keep Rudy Gay. And the other half were, oh, fuck Rudy Gay. We need to keep Z-Bo. Well, we got rid of Rudy Gay and kept Z-Bo, and it looks like it turned out for the best.
And I remember when Rudy was injured the first year he made the playoffs. He missed the playoffs. And he talked about how great it was seeing the team go as far as they went to the second round that year. That was the first time we'd ever even won a game in the playoffs.
Yes, sir.
Went to the second round, and he was talking about how great it was to see that. And then the next year we went to the playoffs, and Zach was hurt. Yes. And Rudy was talking about all the pressure he feels he has on himself now to see if he can actually carry the team and get them to actually win in the playoffs, and he didn't.
No.
And why? Because we didn't have Zach Randolph.
That's right.
Rudy was a great player for a while, but then he got really fucking cocky.
Rudy is a prime example of a really good player who had inflated stats when the Grizzlies were bad.
Yeah.
When the Grizzlies got good, he still thought he should play how we did or how he did when the Grizzlies were bad, by like taking like 30 shots a game.
Yeah.
But when you have Mark and Zebo, that's just not possible.
And I'll go so far as to say that our starting lineup right now is the greatest we've ever had.
Yes, Mike Conley is definitely better than Jason Williams, but I've always loved Jason Williams.
Like, I loved our lineup last year. I loved that we had James Johnson last year. James Johnson was an amazing player, but there's not a single person on the team that I don't like. I love Kosta Kufis. I love Beno Udrih. I love Nick Calathes. I love everybody on the team. But our lineup right now is the greatest lineup we've ever had. You got Tony, Courtney Lee, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, and Marc Gasol. Best fucking lineup we've ever had.
Yes, and probably the best bench we've ever had.
Yeah, because you have fucking Vince Carter coming off, can shoot threes. Quincy Pondex can shoot threes. Baino can shoot threes. Baino's flashy also. You can't forget about that. Baino and Nick Calathes are flashy.
Yeah, Nick Calathes is very flashy also.
Last year, I was calling Nick Calathes the new white chocolate, and I don't think anyone knew what the fuck I was talking about. But I was talking about how his passes remind me of Jason Williams, which they did. Even Baino, some of his passes are amazing. And quite a few of our players on our team have been to the dance. They've like won the championship.
Been to the dance.
Tayshaun's won a championship. Tony Allen won a championship. Vince Carter won a championship. Baino Udrih won a championship. And Vince Carter and Baino played for the same team when they won a championship. So, I mean, I really believe this is our year. If not to win the championship, to win the Western Conference Championship. I just want to see a banner be raised.
I would be happy with winning the division finally.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Because every other team except for like the Clippers, they raise banners for the division. The Clippers are like, we don't want those anymore.
Oh, screw the Clippers. If we win the division and then go lost in like the second round, I would be totally down for raising the division flag.
And our division is the toughest in the NBA because it's us, New Orleans, and Texas.
Yes.
And right now, if you look at all of their records,
and the Thunder.
Well, Thunder's not in our division.
Yeah, I think they are.
No,
are you sure?
Yeah, we just have five teams in the division, and it's us, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, and New Orleans.
What the hell division is the Thunder in?
Let me look. I know they used to be in Pacific Northwest Division, but that's not even a thing anymore. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you remember I was telling you a couple weeks ago that ESPN put a thing out saying like the most hated team in each state, and the Clippers are the most hated team in Tennessee.
Yeah.
The Thunder are the most hated team in Washington.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wonder why.
I feel bad for those people out there.
I do too. They wanted the King so bad. They're in the Northwest Division, which they are sitting fourth. Let's talk about this. If the playoffs were to start right now, Memphis would play the Clippers.
Of course we would.
Houston would be playing San Antonio. Golden State would be playing Sacramento. And Portland would be playing Dallas.
You know, and the Grizzlies, they're going to have a really good record this year. And I'm not going to say we're going to finish first in the Western Conference, but I guarantee if we finish like third or second, we're going to play the Thunder as soon as they're getting all their players back, and they're going to be like the seventh seed or like the sixth seed.
Yeah.
And I really hope we can kick their ass this time. I still believe we would have kicked their ass last year in the playoffs.
Oh, we definitely would have. Everybody out there can sit around and talk about how the city of Memphis just bitches because Zebo got in trouble or got injured. Or no, he got in trouble and Nick Calathes got in trouble. But let's talk about this. Zebo's suspension, complete bullshit.
Yes.
Nick Calathes' suspension, complete fucking bullshit. He failed a drug test. I'm not going to say that is okay because he shouldn't have did what he did. I mean, it wasn't steroids, but he shouldn't have taken what he took, even if it was something he didn't even know was in that. But the fact that he failed that drug test in January and they decided to wait until April to suspend him is complete fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And in the game 7, Conley was like sick or something.
Yeah.
And Tony Allen had like a severe migraine that whole day.
Yeah, and
couldn't even like see.
I want everyone to think about this. As good as the Grizzlies were last year, Mike Conley was injured the entire season.
Yes, and Marc Gasol didn't even play. Yeah. More than half the season.
He was injured for damn near the whole season, Mike Conley was. And this year, he's finally back and healthy as shit. And tomorrow night, we play the Toronto Raptors, who are the best team in the East right now.
Yes, this is a preview of the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Last night was a preview of the NBA Western Conference Finals. This is a preview of the NBA Finals. Toronto against the Memphis Grizzlies, a.k.a. the least watched finals of all time.
Yes.
And if you look at the Eastern Conference, right now, just like it would be in normal time, the last team, eighth-ranked team, has a losing record. Which is what's going to end up happening either way.
What a surprise.
Right now, the Toronto would be playing Orlando. Washington.
I like Orlando, man.
Washington would be playing Milwaukee. Chicago would play Miami, which that could be a good series.
Yes.
Cleveland would be playing Atlanta, which I would hope to fucking God Atlanta would beat the dog shit out of them. And nothing makes me happier right now than seeing how Cleveland is. God damn it. Do they suck right now?
There was a thing saying Kevin Love already don't like it there, and he only signed he only has the 1 year left on his contract.
He has the same thing that
and he was like, oh, and there was reports of him coming out leaving the Cavs next year and going back home to play for the Lakers. And even though that would make the Lakers good, which would actually hurt the Grizzlies because it would make another team in the Western Conference tough or more tough, but it would be fucking hilarious if he goes to Cleveland for a year after they traded up their badass draft pick and they only have him for a year and then he just leaves on them.
Yeah.
That would make me really happy. I would probably throw a party.
Kyrie Irving does not like LeBron.
No. I don't think anybody likes LeBron.
No, LeBron likes LeBron.
Oh, yeah. LeBron likes
The city
LeBron.
Of Cleveland loves LeBron now. They hated him last year. They fucking love him now. Yes. Next year, they're going to hate him when he leaves. He goes plays for, you know where he's never going to play?
Where?
Western Conference.
Hell no.
Because he knows he'll fucking lose in the Western Conference.
Exactly.
He would get his ass kicked if he played Western Conference teams every night.
Hell yeah, he would. He would. All his stats would not be as good. His averages would not be as good. He would not make it to the finals 4 years in a row or however many it's been.
It was four, yeah.
4 years in a row. He would not do that against the he would play the Spurs in the second round and they would whoop his ass.
Yeah. And this isn't anything to do with the Grizzlies, but I don't know if you heard about this. Did you see the foul that Lance Stephenson drew against the Warriors, where his fucking idiotic but somehow smart ass slapped himself in the face and drew a foul, and it was caught on camera.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know if it's. I guess Lance Stephenson is a flopper, but I love Lance Stephenson, man. I love him. When he was blowing in LeBron's ear, that was the funniest thing in the world to me. if the referees are stupid enough to actually fall for that, I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
That is just hilarious.
This isn't even about basketball. During the World Series, Kansas City Royals and San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
My mom was telling me that she was going to go for the Royals because they're an AL team, and she's a Yankees fan. I was telling her I was going to go for the Giants because I can't see myself cheering for any other AL team because I'm a Red Sox fan. What's your stance on that? Do you have another favorite AFC team, or do you all the other AFC teams suck compared to the Titans?
No, they obviously don't. There's only about two other AFC teams
in your heart.
Not really. I know just... if it was an AFC team in the Super Bowl, it don't really bother me. I wouldn't root against them just because they're in the AFC. I wouldn't do that. But, during the season, I want all the AFC teams, to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
to help the Titans, get into the playoffs, but...
What I'm saying is, if it's... with me, take... basketball, for example. Yeah. Since we're talking about basketball. If the Grizzlies are in the playoffs, I'll cheer for the Grizzlies. If they get eliminated, I'm not going to cheer for the team that beat us or just the Western Conference team in general. I have two favorite teams of basketball. Grizzlies in the West, Celtics in the East. I don't like... I do like, though, I, as much as I hate to fucking admit it and say, like, I like watching Golden State play. If the Grizzlies didn't make the playoffs, I would want Golden State to win it all because they're a great team.
Yeah.
Stephen Curry is a fucking amazing basketball player. But, like, with football, my team is the Cowboys. AFC team, I love the Titans. But I don't think, like, if the Cowboys were to be eliminated in the playoffs or not make the playoffs, I don't think I could cheer for another team just because, like, or just, like, another NFC team because it'd be like, well, they probably beat the Titans or beat the Cowboys in the regular season. I don't want to cheer for them.
Like, I can see that maybe, like, a team in, like, in your division, like, went to the Super Bowl. Like, if the Texans went to the Super Bowl, I would, like, whoever they played, I would root against them.
Yeah.
And if, like, the Colts now or, like, the Jaguars, that would never happen. But, like, the Colts, that could happen. But, like, I would root against them. But, like, if, let's see. Like, if, like, a random, like, if the Raiders were in the Super Bowl, I would probably root for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, like in the Western Conference, I wouldn't really just root against a Western Conference team just for them being from the Western Conference.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's not a single team in the NFC that I like other than Dallas. And that's not even just because Dallas is my favorite team. Like, I hate every other team. Like, I hate all the teams in the NFC East except for Dallas. I fucking hate Philadelphia. I hate the Giants. I hate the goddamn Redskins. Or, excuse me, the Washingtons.
The Washingtons.
NFC
North. Did you hear, during the Washington game the other day, RG3 was back and he was sucking again, of course. And all the fans were chanting for Colt McCoy. And I like Colt McCoy.
I do too. You know, all right, you said there's two teams worse than the Titans in the AFC?
Hold on. In the AFC?
Yeah.
I know the Raiders are, and I think we might be equally as bad as the Jaguars, but I don't know if they've won two games. I think they might have only won
the
one.
The records right now is Titans are tied with the Jets, but the Titans are in 14th, Jets are in 13th.
J-E-T-S.
Jaguars are 1-9.
Jaguars need to win some games, man.
And the Oakland Raiders, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. They are 0-10.
Yes.
And, but yeah. Now we're talking about our dream lineups. Because yes. We've gone almost an hour in here.
We can run through this pretty fast.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our dream lineups right now. Starting at the point guard position is Jason Williams.
Jason Williams.
And starting at the shooting guard is Tony Allen.
All right.
Starting at small forward, can you guess who I put?
At small forward,
yes.
You put... I really hope you put Shane Battier.
James Posey.
Oh, man. You know, I forgot all about James Posey. I wouldn't have put him on my list, but, man, I fucking love James Posey, man. For that, like, 2 years he was here and he wasn't fat, I loved him, man. He was, like, my favorite Grizzly player.
Put James Posey on my list at small forward. Power forward, no surprise. Zach Randolph, center, no surprise. Big Country Brant Reeves. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Fucking with you, Marcus Saul.
And on mine is exactly the same. Jason Williams, Tony Allen, Zebo, and Marcus Saul. The only difference is that small forward, I had Shane Battier.
Boom. But in the perfect dream, the best lineup is right now.
Yes. Also, I'd like to throw in, I had my backups also. I did that.
Oh, you did backups.
Yes. My backup. Starting point guard is Mike Conley. My backup shooting guard is O.J. Mayo. My backup small forward is Mike Miller. My backup power forward is not Pau Gasol. It is Skromile Swift.
Stro show, baby.
Baby, throw it up in them fives because he's the birdie man. He'll do it again. If I could do the little bird call, I'd do it, but I do not know how. And my backup center is Lorenzo Wright. Yeah.
I wish I would have thought about that, because that would have made, like, my whole lineup be, like, Jerry Stackhouse, Steve Francis, Gilbert Arenas.
That's a... We got to definitely do one of those, like, all-time, like, Grizzlies roster that never had, like, that didn't play, like, more than half a season or, like, one season.
I fucking did love Gilbert Arenas.
Yes.
Gilbert Arenas was amazing when he was here. It sucks what happened to him and his career, because he's barely fucking 30, but he's playing in China. But still, Gilbert Arenas was a great player. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, go Grizzlies.
Yes.
We are Downward Lucha Libre, and I am Todd Struliano.
And I'm Jesse Matthews, and beat up Toronto. James Johnson ain't playing.
Beat those fucking Canadians. Sorry, Canada.